CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my guides for the controversy over Enbridge 5, a pipeline in the Midwest. First, Bud Weinstein, Bernard Weinstein, former associate director of the McGuire Energy Institute, teaching at SMU and the University of North Texas, and his colleague Terry Clower, Northern Virginia Chair, Professor of Public Policy at George Mason University. Together, they have produced a report about Enbridge 5, much in the news in the Midwest, in Michigan, because of controversy between Canada, the Prime Minister of Canada, and Governor Whitmer of Michigan. There are other players here, but first, what am I talking about? What is Enbridge 5? Bud, a very good evening to you. Please help us understand. Enbridge 5, as I understand, it's almost as old as I am. What is it? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Enbridge is a Canadian company, a big pipeline operator. Enbridge Line 5 actually brings crude oil and natural gas liquids from the province of Alberta all the way to refineries in Ohio and the province of Ontario. It was constructed in 1953, so it's been operating for 68 years, if I'm doing my math correctly. As I said, it carries light crude oil and natural gas liquids, especially propane, across the state of Michigan. Now, the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, announced several months ago that she was going to shut down Line 5. Now, there are all kinds of legal issues as to whether she has the authority to do that. And the reason it has to be shut down is because it runs under the Mackinac Straits that connect Lakes Huron and Michigan. And if there were a breach in the pipeline, it would be devastating to the environment. Now, this pipeline has operated for almost 70 years with no leaks or breaks. But I guess Governor Whitmer wants to burnish her environmental credentials. And this has become either a cause célèbre or a fiasco because it involves a number of U.S. states and it involves the government of Canada. There are pending lawsuits. I don't actually believe the pipeline will be closed immediately because even the Attorney General of Michigan has said we won't shut down that pipeline unless there is a court order. So this is an ongoing, it's really become an international issue because this is a critical issue to Canada as well as the states of Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and indeed other parts of the Midwest that could be severely effective if, in fact, this pipeline were shut down. In short, it's just another example of the war that's being fought against pipelines, both domestically and internationally, to try to kill the oil and gas industry. And we were commissioned to do a study by an organization called the Consumer Energy Alliance to assess what would be the economic and fiscal impacts if Line 5 were actually to shut down.
Professor, the line is not shut down, and there is now a clash of sovereignties, the sovereignty of Michigan, the sovereignty of Canada. I note that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has filed opposition in U.S. court about the governor's challenge to Enbridge 5, a private enterprise, Line 5 pipeline, carrying, as Bud just told us, not only fossil fuel oil, but also natural gas to major industries in the area. But to grow this story, we all note that one of the first decisions by the new Biden administration was to stop the building of Keystone XL pipeline. In these last days, because of bad actors, the Colonial Pipeline that carries gasoline and other products to the East Coast, especially the Southeast, has been disrupted by a ransomware. All of this points up to pipelines in the news. Is there a general opinion that pipelines are now part of an ideological campaign to shut them down? Or do we need to talk about these as silos? Colonial is one matter, Keystone XL is another, and the Enbridge 5 matter is a local matter only. Good evening to you, Professor.
Well, thank you very much, John, and good evening to you. I think it's very clear that there has emerged a philosophical objection to pipelines, but I'm not even sure if it makes sense to just talk about in pipeline that it is wrapped up in the broader issues of fossil fuel powered energy. And this is, it's a really interesting phenomenon that we've seen, that folks have come out in opposition to pipelines, and usually the arguments are about safety and the consequences of spills. But in reality, pipelines have proven themselves over the years to be one of the safer and certainly more cost-efficient ways of transmitting energy products. I mean, think about this. If you close down a pipeline, then your two choices are shipping those products via rail and a lot of rail cars, or putting it on tanker trucks and putting them on the highway. Neither one of which are, for any practical purposes, any safer, but it has become part of the broader argument against fossil fuel powered energy.
And so therefore there is common thinking among these three separate incidents that the pipelines are both a source of strength, prosperity, but people think they're also a threat. Is that the way to understand it, Professor?
I would suggest that that is the case, and even consider in the Line 5 the particular circumstance where the pipeline operator has proposed to actually dig a tunnel underneath the seabed of the Mackinac Strait, create a conduit, a concrete conduit that would then the pipeline would run through, and these folks are against that too. So, you know, they just want it shut down. They don't want it made safer. They just want it shut down.
But I come to you on the matter of the going underneath the lakes, the Mackinac Straits. That does seem a very vulnerable spot. Nothing has happened, but there's a photograph accompanying some of these stories, maybe yours as well, showing the pipeline at the bottom of the seabed. It looks dangerous to me if a bad actor got down there. Is that a concern to everyone? An oil spill in the Great Lakes?
I don't really think so. The reason Enbridge has proposed building this tunnel underneath the lake bed is because I think they will acknowledge that a 70-year-old pipeline may have some resiliency issues. So I believe they were planning to dig this tunnel even before this controversy began over shutting down Line 5. So, as I said, the tunnel project, which I think is something like $500 million, has already received most of the environmental permits. The company is ready to dig this tunnel, and they will put the pipeline into this tunnel that would be encased in concrete up to 250 feet below the lake bed. So that should allay any safety concerns that the governor and others have. But as Terry mentioned, what we're really talking about here is a war against pipelines that's been going on for several years. Remember, we used to chat a couple of years ago about all these moves to ban fracking. Well, that's kind of faded into the background. Now the big push by environmental groups and others is to shut down the pipelines, because after all, if you can shut down the pipelines, eventually you're going to kill the industry.
Professor, I come to you with a news item from Canada. The Anishinaabeg Nation said last week that it was disappointed that Ottawa, meaning the Prime Minister, is pushing back against Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer over the Enbridge 5 pipeline. This is one of the First Nations in Canada, a member of the council, I believe. That's the Canadian side. I believe there are also objections on the American side from Native Americans about pipelines. That connects me to the general knowledge I have that the Keystone XL pipeline had a major opponent in Native Americans. Is that a subset of this opposition? Is that going in another direction, or is it the same environmental concern you elicited before?
I think that with the Native American tribes and also the First Nation tribes, for them, at least based on my understanding of the opposition I've read, is theirs is both an environmental concern, the assumption that any pipeline eventually will break and will spoil the land, so very much an environmental concern in that sense, from their perspective. But the other piece is also gets tied up, especially in the U.S. side, on tribal sovereign rights issues, because there are they have the issues about does the pipeline cross over what they recognize as their tribal lands.
We're speaking of Enbridge Line 5. Enbridge is the company. Line 5 is the pipeline that connects Canada with the Midwest. And I'm speaking to two gentlemen who've done a study of what it means, what the threat is, what the concerns are, but also what this means to the economy of these affected states. This is the Midwest. I remind myself this is where elections turn. So prosperity there is critical. Terry Clower is at the George Mason University, Northern Virginia Chair and Professor of Public Policy. And Bernard Weinstein is retired Associate Director of the McGuire Energy Institute. When we come back, what jobs, what money? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.